All right. Well, good evening. Thank you for braving the cold weather to gather. It may be cold outside, but it's warm inside, and we have the opportunity to study God's Word. Well, I hope you had a blessed Christmas. I hope you enjoyed some family. Hopefully, you got a little bit of rest. But this evening, we're going to dive into Acts chapter 7. And so if you have your Bible, Acts chapter 7, this is our last Sunday gathering before the new year. We're transitioning from 2015 to 2016, and I think we can learn some great truths from the life of a man by the name of Stephen as we enter into a new year. So Acts chapter 7, and remember, as you get your Bible open, as you get ready to dive into God's Word, we're given front row seats to what God would say to us tonight. So we have God's Word open, and we are sitting courtside, as it were, watching the truth of God's Word unfold before our eyes. And so if you're ready, can I hear a let's do this? Not too bad. Here we go. Verse 54 of Acts chapter 7. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Father, we ask right now that you would speak to us. Lord, we ask right now as we turn our attention to your scripture, to your truth, that you would bring it alive in our gathering. We ask, God, that your word, through the work of your Spirit, would cut our hearts, convict us, pierce our ears in a way in which we would receive it and respond to it in the remainder of this year and the year to come. I pray, Lord, that we would learn valuable truths, qualities, characteristics from the life of Stephen and put them into practice in our life that we might please you. And so, Father, we surrender to you in this last Sunday night gathering of 2015, asking that you would do radical things in our midst and that you, Father, would prepare and use us for 2016. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. I'll have to work on that. Recently, earlier this year, I found myself gripped by the life of a particular individual in the early part of American history. This individual really connected with me because he was himself a preacher. What really connected with me in his preaching was the way in which God had used him, but also how faithful he was in the world he lived in. This preacher, his name is George Whitefield. George Whitefield preached in the early days of American history. He was a close friend of Benjamin Franklin. It's kind of an interesting story. George Whitefield would go out and he would preach in open airs or in the open fields, and upwards of 30,000 people would gather to hear him preach. Out in the fields, this hush would come over and he would begin to expound God's word. But in doing this, his friend Benjamin Franklin found out about it and didn't believe him that 30,000 people could hear him preach in open air. And so you have this picture of Benjamin Franklin in the back of the crowd, George Whitefield preaching, and Benjamin Franklin would walk away from the crowd and see how far out he could get and still hear George Whitefield. Kind of interesting when you think about it, right? There you are preaching and Benjamin Franklin has his back to you and he's walking away from you and you're like, what is he doing? Only to pause and make a calculation and determine, wow, George Whitefield has a pretty powerful voice. George Whitefield would go on and also be a good friend of a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards. You may know him from his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It may have been, you know, the only sermon you read in school. You see, Jonathan Edwards was impacted by George Whitefield, and he even invited George Whitefield to come and preach in his church. And he described Jonathan or George Whitefield in this way. He said, "I want you to come and preach at my church because I hear when you come, you bring heaven with you." This man that was so radically used by the Lord in the early history of our nation lived a life of faithfulness. He was a man who was steadfast to his call and steadfast to his convictions in Christ, and he was used greatly. So much so, I'd like to just give you a little glimpse into the last 24 hours of his life. His last 24 hours show this steadfastness of this man that was mightily used, this consistency, the quality of life in which he lived. You see, it goes like this. On September 29th, on his way to Boston, he reached the town of Exeter. He intended to pass through, but found a great number of people had gathered and were insistent that he stay and preach. A platform had been prepared in a field, and as he approached it, an elderly gentleman said, "Sir, you are more fit to go to bed than to preach." "True, sir," replied Whitefield, and turning aside and looking up, he stated, "Lord Jesus, I am weary in thy work, but not weary of it. If I have not yet finished my course, let me go and speak for thee once more in the fields. Seal thy truth and come home and die." Another gentleman wrote, "Mr. Whitefield rose and stood erect, and his appearance alone was a powerful sermon. He remained there several minutes, unable to speak, and he said, 'I will wait for the gracious assistance of God.' He then delivered perhaps one of his best sermons. 'I go,' he cried, 'I go to a rest prepared. My son has arisen and by aid from heaven has given light to many. It is now about to set. No, it is about to rise to the zenith of eternal glory. Many may outlive me on earth, but they cannot outlive me in heaven. Oh, thought divine, I shall soon be in a world where time, age, pain, and sorrow are unknown." At which the church says, amen, right? "My body fails, my spirit expands, but how willingly would I live to preach Christ, but I die to be with him." Whitefield's sermon was from the scripture, "Examine yourself whether ye be in the faith." It was 2 hours in length. We're only going to go an hour and 45 tonight. We'll be good. 2 hours in length, and was delivered with such clearness, pathos, and eloquence that many hearers stated it was the greatest sermon they ever heard from him. Following this tremendous effort, Whitefield went on to the home of the Reverend Jonathan Parson of the Old South Presbyterian Church in Newburyport. While the family was at supper, he said he was tired and would go to bed. He was on a landing of the stairs when the door opened to admit a host who had gathered outside and earnestly requested he preach. He paused, candle in hand, and preached Christ till the candle burned out in the socket and died away. The candle was symbolic of his life, the writer writes, which was burning out and speedily dying away. Richard Smith, a young man who had traveled with him, reported that Whitefield awoke about 2 a.m. and seemed to pant for breath. "A good pulpit sweat today," he said, "may give me relief. I should be better after I preach." Smith told him he wished he would not preach so often, but Whitefield answered, listen to this, "I rather wear out than rust out." It goes on to say he awoke again at 4 a.m. He got out of bed and opened the window, saying, "I am almost suffocated. I can scarce breathe." Mr. Parson came in and Smith went to fetch a doctor. "On my coming back," he says, "I saw death on his face. His eyes were fixed, his under lip drawing inward every time he breathed. At 7 a.m. on September 30th, 1770, George Whitefield ceased all struggles on earth and entered into eternity with Jesus." What an amazing final 24 hours of commitment and steadfastness. What a committed life that though you just get a glimpse of the last 24, it's faithful throughout his entire life. You see, we are on the heels of a new year. We're on a time of transition within America or within the high desert. Think for a moment of just how different things have become over this last year. As we just look back to the last few months of 2015, it has been at times scary. We saw terrorism strike the Western world. It started in Paris, and just the sound of suicide vests exploding in the Western world shook us. Rapid gunfire thundering, the stories that come out, and the people that lost their lives. And we found ourselves at the TV going, I can't believe this is happening. What is going on? And then just weeks later, it comes so close to home. It's San Bernardino. 14 people losing their lives in an act of terrorism, 40 minutes from the church? Many of you maybe found out about it as you were getting into your truck to drive to the next call or to drive to a new job site, and you found yourself gripped to the news and even found yourself maybe listening to AM stations that you never do because you wanted to remain up to date. The whole idea, stories unfold of these lost lives, and even to think that maybe some of them lost their lives because of their convictions.